I'm Steve Potter, and coming up next on Cityscape, we're going to talk to Irish singer Maxine Linehan, who's in St. Louis as part of the Gaslight Cabaret Festival. The St. Louis Women's Hope Chorale uses music to raise awareness about a variety of issues in society, and 1 week from tonight, they'll be doing just that with the help of singer Aaron Bodie and Adam Manis of the 442s, who composed a piece that will premiere at that event. Adam, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
The words of the piece come from poet Katie Miller. Hi, Katie. Welcome.
Thanks.
And also joining us today, the Hope Chorale's conductor and artistic director, Leanne Magnuson Latuda. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, thank you.
Leanne, talk about that. Would you explain what the chorale is all about?
Yes, our mission is, we've always had a part of our mission to bring the community wonderful music, excellent music. But in addition to that, we like to raise awareness about issues that are important to us, social justice issues. And so there's kind of an interesting story about how this came about with some of our co-founders and their grandson. And so two of our co-founders, well, we're actually celebrating our 20th anniversary this year, and two of our co-founders are very active still in the chorale. They are Dick and Mary Henshaw. And their grandson had a meeting with Adam Manis a while back and brought this piece into fruition.
We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Originally, Hope was not in the title of the group. That was added recently, wasn't it?
Exactly. And it was added because Hope for us is an acronym, and it's Harmony, Optimism, Philanthropy, and Empowerment. And we believe very strongly about raising awareness of key issues in the community and empowering especially women.
Mm-hmm. So, Adam, you're the pianist in the 442s, but you've done a lot of songwriting and composing along the way, haven't you?
Well, I was in Aaron Bodie's band for about 11 years, and I wrote a lot of songs with her. I had the good fortune of playing with her for so long. And recently I've been, you know, kind of putting on the composer's hat more and more and doing a lot of arranging and composing for a wide variety of musicians around St. Louis, a lot of classical musicians and things like that. And when this opportunity got presented to me, I'd never written choral music before, so I kind of leapt at it to write for an experienced group like the St. Louis Women's Hope Chorale and work with Leanne. So it's been really rewarding watching her work the chorale and working through the piece and discovering what works and what is horrible and what doesn't work and changing that. And it's been fun.
Katie, you've had a lot of work published, your poetry published. Has it ever been set to music?
No, I've never had that experience. And in fact, I am really not. My first hat that I wear is a social worker. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. So this whole experience of, aside from just writing poetry and having it published, I have never been involved in anything like this. So it was pretty amazing. When I heard the practice, I was there last week, and to hear what that sounds like and how it changes the words.
What do you like to write about?
Oh, gosh. I probably started because I worked in home hospice, and I wrote a lot about my experience working, doing that sort of thing. So it was a powerful experience. And then now that I'm in private practice, I probably just write about what inspires lots of us, being a mom or being a woman in general, or just actually I've been writing a lot about housework because I do a lot of housework.
It's important to me, too.
Yeah. Exciting.
I'd like to hear a poem about housework.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leanne, in addition to the piece that Adam composed, and we're going to talk more about that in just a second, what does the rest of the program look like or sound like, I guess would be a better way to put it?
Oh, it's going to be a great program because I think, as you know, one of our guest artists is Aaron Bodie, and she will open the concert with a 15-minute set and do some of her solo work, and then the 442s are going to play music of theirs, and then the chorale is going to do a set, and then we'll close the concert with Theater of Hope, which is about 15 minutes long, and it'll bring all of us together.
So that's the name of your piece, Adam, Theater of Hope.
Yeah.
Right. Which came first, the music or the words?
Well, it's an interesting question. Actually, in this case, a lot of it, the words came first. I kind of asked Katie to come on board and help because the majority of the piece is from the perspective of a family member of a service person, and especially particularly a mother. And I didn't feel qualified to really write anything like that at all. So I've known Katie for so long. She was actually the maid of honor at my wedding. So
that's true.
We've known each other for a long time. And she was the first person I thought of to write the text for me. I love her poetry, and I thought she would do a great job. And she did. So she sent me about 3 or 4 poems.
I think 3 or 4 versions of each thing you asked for, because I was like, I just didn't know. I thought, you need some choice.
And so I had some ideas of kind of like general shapes of each movement that I wanted to do and notes I wanted to hit, you know, like spots I wanted to really emphasize. And I used her words to kind of sculpt what the details of what was going to happen.
What was the story that Leanne started to tell about how this all came about?
Yeah, so the 442s were playing a gig at Cyrano's Cafe in Webster Groves, which is a place we love to play because it's small and we can kind of work some stuff out and we can have a little free concert. And the president of the Hope Krause board, Dick Shaw, was there with his grandson. And his grandson came up and spoke to me afterwards and said, "My stepdad is a veteran, and have you ever thought about writing anything for veterans? I think he'd really appreciate it, and they would really like that." And I hadn't ever thought of that. And Dick was there, and we immediately started brainstorming, and the Hope Chorale was in that conversation initially, too. And then I met with Leanne to talk about sort of the direction we want to go, and that's when she sort of suggested, you know, she explained the mission of the chorale, and we kind of turned it from something from a veteran's perspective to maybe more along the lines of family members of veterans, particularly women.
Mm-hmm. Of course, no one's heard it except in rehearsal, the piece. Yeah. So, Leanne, describe the piece to me a little bit, how it speaks to you, Adam's work.
Well, the first movement is very, very energetic, and it's kind of has this driving inner pulse, and it's a repetitive driving inner pulse. And it feels, I think, pretty instrumental. Not something that would be typical of choral music. A lot of times people think choral music is very lyrical and melodical and sustained. It is melodical, but it has this energy, and it's this repetitive energy of the text, and it's kind of fiery and really clips along. And then we go into the second movement that I think is just magical. And it's Theater of the Night is the second movement, and it honestly feels like you can hear crickets. And you can imagine yourself being in the desert if you were a soldier someplace, stationed somewhere, and you're lying awake at night with your own thoughts, and you're looking up at the stars, and you're thinking about what's at home and what the people to whom you miss and your life that's going on without you because you're in the service. And then the third movement is more from the mother's perspective of wondering where your child is. And is he or she safe? And what's happening? And will they come home? And if and when they come home, who will they be? And then the fourth movement is really from the soldier's point of view, thanking all those who have waited at home and who have supported them while they're gone. And they come home many times with difficulties, with problems that society, we all think, has to help them with. And so that's really, I think, one of the driving forces behind this piece is to get society behind our veterans, no matter what your political view. These folks come home sometimes with problems and difficulties, and we have to help them through those and support them.
Adam, was this a topic that was on your radar before this?
No, not really. You know, and I wanted to be very careful about how I approached it because I'm not a soldier and I've never been within an inch of a war. So I didn't want to go in with that kind of vibe of, you know, my TV movie version of anything. What I really wanted to portray was something I think we all can understand, which is what Leanne just so eloquently expressed, which is that these are our friends, our neighbors, our community, our family, and we just wanted to kind of humbly acknowledge and thank them and the people that support them and be there for our neighbors.
We're talking to Adam Manis, Leanne Latuda, and Katie Miller about the St. Louis Women's Hope Chorale featuring the 442s and Aaron Bodie. A performance will be a week from tonight, and it premieres Adam Manis's Theater of Hope. So, Katie, talk about the words that Adam finally decided to use that came from you. Was that what your poem was about?
So I wrote these words after meeting with Adam. It wasn't like a pre-existing poem. So Adam and I talked, and I have written other poems. Actually, one of my poems published in the Nashville Review is about a mother trying to explain to her kids who ask the question, why war? So these are questions I've thought about before. Many of the families and patients and clients I've worked with have been veterans. And so I think that word humble I really like that word because I'm honoring somebody else's story, or many other people's stories have informed the words that I'm writing. So I guess that I agree that Leanne described the sense of it so eloquently. I'm not sure what else I would want to add, except that these words came from Adam and I talking, and then the stories that I've heard, and then in particular one close friend of our family who's a Gulf War vet, who really sent me, at my request, some detailed description of what it was like for him to be in the desert.
So how did you work on it, Adam? I mean, did you make a point to talk to vets?
I didn't talk to any personally. No, I really wanted to keep the focus on the family of vets for most of the piece. Mm-hmm. And talking to people that I know who, you know, are supporting people who have currently serving or have served and trying to understand what they're going through. I think that must be such a hard position to be in because you're going through so much, but you can't really complain about it. You know what I mean? Like your loved one is putting their physical body in such a harm's way that, you know, you're kind of not allowed to really get any sympathy. But we wanted to make sure that this was about them, that we were, like I said, sort of acknowledging them and thanking them.
Well, you said yourself you don't have any military experience. So I would just think maybe you learned a few things going through this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking about earlier, as we were talking about coming in today, about, you know, the disconnect that I think some of these soldiers feel when they come home. And because we're not, you know, there's no draft or anything like that. We're not as actively involved in when they're over there as I think it was in the past. So they come over and we're, you know, still at the mall and all that stuff. And hopefully this piece can kind of, to at least a few people, acknowledge that we see you and we're here for you.
And it strikes me, too, that parents of vets are soldiers also, and as a parent, you have so much of an instinct to protect your child. And when your child goes in to a combat situation, that you have to repress that instinct of a parent. And I think they are just as much soldiers as their soldier.
Yeah, the fourth movement is called The Soldier's Soldier, and that was named after a line in Katie's poem.
A press release that describes your work, Adam, this one piece in particular, Theater of Hope, says it blends poetry, minimalism, American folk music, and gospel.
Yeah.
Is that a good description?
Well, yeah. The gospel thing. So originally, the fourth movement was going to be sung by Brian Owens, who I know you know is a great soul singer. Mm-hmm. Brian had a kind of last-minute scheduling conflict, so that's when we decided to bring in Aaron Bodie. Now, it was going to be a lot more gospel-y with Brian, but it still has that feel, and Aaron is really knocking it out of the park. I can't wait to hear the final.
Leanne, was the subject matter of this work, was that the direction you wanted to go?
Initially, I have to be honest and say I was concerned about the post-traumatic stress disorder being the theme of our gala because that didn't seem to fit that well. And yet we all said, this is so important. We have to figure out a way to make this work because we want to raise awareness about this. And so how can we not get into some of the maybe the ugly aspects of that, but bring it around to a positive point of view and raise awareness of the problems, but also celebrate all the good that happens because of the sacrifices these people make.
Does the work bring up some things that are uncomfortable?
No, you know what? Whenever I write something like this, I find that it's more effective to just hold up a mirror sometimes to a situation, and people really connect with that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's so great about music is instead of being so obvious with getting deep into anything super political or my own personal views on things, I find that if you sort of set the scene, that people bring their own views to it, and it becomes a very personal and powerful thing for them. So that's what I tried to do with this. I've done other things like that, a piece regarding Ferguson that was played by the St. Louis Symphony last year, and I find it much more effective than being super specific. You're going to lose some folks.
And just briefly, since you worked on this piece together, sort of at the same time, what was that process like for you?
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I've
always written all my own lyrics or co-written lyrics with Aaron. And I have to say, I am not a poet. That was really – the text Katie came with was so sophisticated and well-crafted, and I was immediately blown away and a little bit embarrassed about things I've written in the past. At the same time, though, they weren't song lyrics. So there was some – like I had to craft them a little bit to make them work to be sung because not every beautiful word sounds – great
when
you sing it. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. It was really interesting for me to try and write that way and to think about 40 voices or 40 or more voices singing these words and how difficult some words are. Like there's a word vigilance and I'm like, ooh, that word. I
yes,
don't know. Should
you,
I
Katie.
Use it?
Yeah, I actually asked Katie. I was like, you know, think about the words maybe a little more broadly than you might normally.
Right.
Because there's some words that just sometimes when you get really into the beauty of the word, it just, it doesn't work in a song. You have to lean on the power of the music a little bit.
This was really a cool part of listening to the practice too, which is like the words. This was what I came up with, my brilliant moment driving in the car going home. I was like, it's like Adam asked me for a piece of clay and like, Katie, you have some good clay. Let me have that clay. And then the music molds the words in a totally different shape. So it's really, it sounds different from reading the words than hearing it with the music. It's really different.
Yeah. And then also subject matter wise, you don't have to be incredibly specific. At least I don't like music that's incredibly specific subject matter. I like to, again, allow the sound of the music to color that in a way that puts an idea in your head that, you know, in regard to shaping the words. Does that make sense?
And so the line that comes to mind, remember why you are here, everyone can fill in the blank as to why a soldier is doing what he or she is doing. And everyone may have a different answer or a thought about why are we fighting this war? What are we fighting for?
The St. Louis Women's Hope Chorale presents Theater of Hope. It's a gala concert a week from tonight. That's Friday, October 16th, 7 p.m. at the Link Auction Galleries, which is on Washington Place right off Kings Highway. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like more information, go to our website, stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Leanne Latuda is the artistic director and conductor of the Hope Chorale. Anything briefly you'd like to say about the rest of the evening?
The one thing that I want to make sure that people know is that our ticket prices start at $50, and we do not want that to be prohibitive for veterans or active service members. So any veteran or active service member who would like to come to the concert can do so for a donation of their choice. Just bring some form of military ID, and we will welcome you with open arms.
Katie Miller is a poet. Are you excited?
I am really excited. It's a great honor for me.
And Adam Manis, good to see you. And of course, it's going to be the 442s and Aaron Bodie performing as well. And you know, in our first segment today, we talked to Peter Martin. You're on his new CD.
I get to play guitar on one of the tracks. That is a great honor for me. That's a great record. Everybody should get that.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. The Hope Chorale Theater of Hope Gala Concert a week from tonight. Katie, Adam, Leanne, thank you all.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, Irish singer Maxine Linehan. This is St. Louis Public Radio.